Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
I'm excited to be with you here this morning on the Sunday after the greatest holiday that we talk about giving and the heart of gratitude. We've been journeying with gratitude, reading the book, A Thousand Gifts. And what an amazing time it has been. Last week, Sean did an incredible job talking about audacious gratitude. So we're going to continue in that same framework, and we're going to look at gratitude from a little bit different perspective. Well, let's have a time of prayer, and then we'll jump right in. Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity to be able to be together as one body, a fellowship that's trying to be like your son, Jesus. Father, as we have just celebrated the day of giving, the day of Thanksgiving, I pray that our hearts will continue to be full of gratitude as we recognize who you really are. God, we are excited to open the eyes of our heart to your word. Let us listen. Let us pay attention. Let us slow down our lives so that we can emulate your son, Jesus. In your holy son's name, I pray. Amen. So during the pandemic, lots of things that I kind of got caught up in and watching stuff on Netflix. I kind of felt like I was, you know, the guy that didn't know what was going on. And so when I jumped on Netflix, there was something that really intrigued me. And it was a series about Formula One racing. And as I thought about my life, I said, you know what? My life really represents a Formula One race car or a race. These cars are the top end of motorsports racing. It doesn't get any more prestigious or expensive or fast when it comes to Formula One. These cars are traveling upwards of 200 miles an hour on these very curvy and windy tracks. And when they get to the point that they have to go into their pit lane or pit road, the speed changes. It drops down to 50 miles an hour. Wow, that is crazy, from 200 to 50. But at some point, these cars have to come to an absolute stop. And when I look at my life, that's what I'm doing. I'm going around life, all these curves, 200 miles an hour. Then I try to slow down just a little bit for a quick pit stop. Now, these pit stops in Formula One only last 2.5 seconds, just 2.5 seconds. But I tell you what, there's never been a car that's ever finished a race without a pit stop. And I can be honest with y'all, that's where I am spiritually. Recently, I had the opportunity to make a decision about, was I going to continue to grind hard and stay on the hamster wheel of life in my Emory clinic and get more patients, which means more surgery, which means more ripping and running, which means more money? Or was I going to take a pause, to take a pit stop and go on a spiritual conference with my wife where we can grow closer together, spiritually have dinner and be with friends that really love us? What was I going to choose to do? I wrestled with it very long and I eventually chose to go with my wife. But boy, there was something inside of me that wanted to stay on the hamster wheel. So I had a quote from the author, the book that we're reading, 1,000 Gifts. The author says, life is brief and it is fleeting. Life is not an emergency. You know, brothers and sisters, a lot of times we can make life an emergency. You know, let's just be totally honest. Let's be 100 here. Don't let the pandemic fool us, okay? We are back to doing everything and anything that we want to do. We're back going working and trying to get promotions and trying to earn more. We're back to going on dinner dates. We're back to dating. We're back to traveling. We're going on plane flights. We're even back to going out on brunch. And some of us are taking brunch between the hours of 10 and 12. I'm not going to get into that right now, but that's the time when we have church, brothers and sisters. But we are doing everything. And that pace that we continue to have, it leads us to have some self-hatred when we wake up in the morning. Sometimes it leads us to totally have anxiety about the fear of failure. We're forgetting about major appointments in our lives. We're yelling at our children. We're living very selfish lives. Shoot, we even forget to clean our houses because we're ripping and running. There's a discontentment that has set in our hearts because we're on a pace that we just cannot sustain. The bitterness then builds up, and then we unload it on the people that we love. We live a tired, anxious, weary, hurried life. You know, the way we sometimes live is we're living like we're praying for the next vacation. We live from one vacation to the next because of the pace that we have. You know, over the last 20 months, it's been very difficult for people. I know people have been on the hamster wheel of life, just running to the next thing. When you look at the current data on some particular health concerns, it validates that point. There's a significant increase in alcoholism to the point where there's a 40% increase in liver transplants in this country over the last 2 years. For the first time in 20 years, cigarette sales are up because people are trying to cope. People are addicted, and the pace that they're keeping just feeds their addiction. God is trying to do a lot of things with this pandemic. And one of the things I think he is trying to do is to slow us down. God wants us to take a pause, to take a spiritual pit stop. And that's the title of my message today, The Spiritual Pit Stop. And we see an incredible story of this over in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38, is a very small passage that carries a very powerful impact to our lives, especially the season that we're going through right now. Turn over to Luke chapter 10 with me. So this is a story of Jesus hanging out with a family that he's very familiar with. The family of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Jesus loves this family. He spent a lot of time with them. As we know, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, so he's very familiar with this family. And he's traveling on his way to Jerusalem, and he stops about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem in a town called Bethany. And many scholars call this particular section of scripture the traveler's journey, because it talks about how Jesus is making his final stop in Jerusalem. Let's look at this passage together. And I want you to focus in on what is Martha doing, what is Mary doing, and how does Jesus respond to the both of them. Let's start in verse 38. And Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So the context of what we have going on here, in the first century, the Jewish culture was set up to where the ladies would be responsible for the preparations. They would be responsible for putting on all the hospitality, all the food, all the things that went into that. And so it was a cultural norm for the ladies to be in the back, in the kitchen, working on those preparations. And so Martha is having a very, very tough time with this because she is going guns a-blazing. She wants her house to be perfect. We've got Rabbi Jesus here. And we know many of us are on that train as well. We just finished getting off of it 2 days ago on Wednesday and Thursday. I know I had 3 turkeys I had to smoke. I know Mike had greens he was doing. Roland had the fryer going with 5 turkeys. Brother Cliff probably has the grill going. All the brothers and sisters with the fixings, they are going for it. They are throwing down in the kitchen. So we all have preparations that we have to do. But look where Mary is. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. This is tremendously countercultural. There is no way that Mary should be in the front room with Jesus. She should be back there with Martha preparing for the meal. The other thing we have to look at is rabbis did not have female disciples or female Talmudines. They only really recruited men. So for a rabbi to welcome a woman in, to sit at his feet, to hear from him, to learn from him, that is a huge deal. You see, Mary saw something very amazing. She saw her rabbi. Mary had gratitude in her heart to the point where she says, I'm going to slow this ship down. I'm going to take a spiritual pit stop and sit at the feet of my rabbi. Think about where we were this past Thursday. If Jesus was to come to our place, would he have said, you have chosen what is better? Look at it. Jesus did not tell Martha that what she was doing was bad or wrong. He said, Mary chose the better thing. And I'm not going to take away that from her. I'm not going to ostracize her. I'm not going to send her back to the kitchen. And we have to think about what is it going to take for us to go against the culture when it comes to being on this rapid pace of life, to sit at the feet of Jesus. A commentator once wrote, Martha is focusing on all the details of the hospitality. Quite often, like many of us do, we're overoccupied, we are dragged away. You see, that's what the Greek word for distracted means. It means to be dragged away, to be overoccupied. So in Martha's case, she is focusing on all the nitpicky details, but she's forgetting the point of the whole exercise, and that's to focus on Jesus. Our life is about Jesus, and when we do that, gratitude builds up in our hearts. You know, there's nothing wrong with hospitality. I live with the hospitality queen. Nobody can compare with my beautiful wife, Tasha, when it comes to hospitality. And I know my wife is listening to this, and she knows when she gets on the warpath for hospitality, me and the kids, boy, we stand up straight and we get to following our orders because my wife is excellent. But we have to understand that doing things for other people and for ourselves is not inherently bad. It's about the focus that we have. It's about, is Jesus at the center of whatever we are doing? And if we don't slow down our lives enough to look at what Jesus has done for us and what we can do for other people, then we totally miss out on the opportunity for gratitude to grow in our hearts. So we must have spiritual pit stops so that gratitude can overflow in our hearts to be able to tap our friends, our family, and our network. And there's a sister that I wanted to tell you all about, our sister Alex Marshall. You know, Alex, I've never seen Alex mad. I've never seen her upset. She's always the most joyful person, engaged, ready to go. But recently, Alex's life has been very, very busy. She's been in school, she's working, she has her son, she has Corey, her husband, and so she had a lot of things going on. And God put it on her heart to say, you know what, I need to slow my life down. School is coming to an end. How can I partner with God to do something amazing? And God heard her cry. She's been in the Emerging Leaders Group with Sean. So Sean's been praying. I've been praying about, you know, who are going to be our servants as we move into our North Church and South Church service. And Alex came on my heart for the host team lead. So I talked to Alex about that, talked about that opportunity to partner with God. And she said, you know what, Ed, my life is changing. I'm slowing it down. School is coming to an end. Yes, I want to do it. Then there becomes an opportunity for her to even move forward in that when there's one of the VTC positions had came open. It was an opportunity for her to work with another co-VTC. And she says, yes, I want to do that too. So if Alex hadn't slowed down her life to be able to recognize what Jesus was doing for her, develop that gratitude in her heart, and what Sean talked about last week, that response, that audacious gratitude to want to serve God, it would have never happened. The opportunity would have been missed. So as we look at our hearts, we have to ask ourselves, are we slowing down? And what does that look like for me? The author has a great passage that I wanted to read that really summates what we're trying to communicate here. She says, if only I had more time. How often have we uttered those words? Americans are harassed and hurried people, getting to the next thing without fully entering the thing in front of us. How many broken and missed things in our wake of all the rushing? How many decisions and life moments could we recapture if we were just present and were not rushing off to the next? Life is not a series of emergencies. Haste makes waste. When we hurry, we think we are making up time. In fact, we are throwing it away. We are slow. I mean, for us to slow the torment of time with the weight of being present. When we stop, let's say this together. Stop. Say it again. Stop and focus on the gifts of God. We can be present in the present moment with Him. We can only experience God in the present. We say that we want to see God do amazing things in our lives. When have we slowed down enough to even pay attention to actually look for those things? When we practice euchristo, the stopping to give thanks, we will begin to see His hand in our lives and the patterns of grace. Stop sacrificing the gift in the present for the illusions in the future. With God, there's always enough. The major point this morning is very simple. Slow down. Say it with me. Slow down. One more time. Slow down. Take the spiritual pit stops that you need to sit at the feet of Jesus, and you will see gratitude overflow in your heart. So what are we to do? I have one thing for you, and I want you to write this one down. We must take Sabbath. We must take Sabbath. Now, I know you're probably out there saying, Jackson, man, what you talking about that Old Testament Sabbath, man? I ain't going through all that. That's that legalistic stuff, man. Hold on. Listen, hear me out. When I say Sabbath, we have to understand the true nature of what God meant. Now, there are great books that you can study this out. I don't have time to go through everything today, but I do want to give you some top surface nuggets. When I talk about Sabbath, I'm talking about doing things that delight us. Taking a 24-hour period and not doing any work, not doing anything that doesn't bring us joy, not ripping and running, But taking time to connect with God, taking time to delight in what God has created and who God is, taking time to do something fun. It may be for me, when I smoke my turkeys in the next couple of hours, that's not work for me. That brings me delight. When I cover football games on Saturday, that's not work for me. That brings me peace. That brings me delight. So it's not that you got to stay in the house and you just lay up on the couch and you don't do anything. Yes, rest is a part of that. But it's about taking time to connect with God and do things that bring you delight. God talked about this way back in Genesis chapter 1. I have to share this with you. Genesis chapter 1, we think a lot is about creation, which it is. But hidden in the treasure of the story, hidden in this poem, is a message about rest. And that's what God ended Genesis 1 with, which is he took rest. And that's what God wants to communicate with us. You see, a lot of the times people think that man was created for Sabbath, like we're supposed to bow down to Sabbath. No, Sabbath was created for us to delight in God. Now, the counter side to that is, this is not an excuse not to do what God puts on your heart. This is not an excuse to say, man, well, I ain't doing it. It's my Sabbath. Now, you got to have the right heart when we talk about this, right? So I encourage everybody to take some time to think about, can you slow your life down? Maybe you can start with a 24-hour period. Maybe you start with a 6-hour period. But I'm telling you, when you slow down and you really put Sabbath into practice, you will see gratitude build up in your heart. Now, people get a lot of things mixed up. We talk about being busy, and then we talk about being hurried. Let me break this down. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ and you are about loving God and loving other people and you're on the mission to preach the gospel and make disciples, you got family, you got job, you got roommates, you got to take care of everything, you're going to be busy. That's the definite. I mean, you're busy. But busy means, hey, I know I need to connect with God. I know I need to read my Bible. I know I need to get input in my life. I know I need to, and I just went through that. Do I stay in the clinic and just keep running the rat race? Or do I decide to say, I'm going to stop so that I can connect with my wife and have some peace? When you're hurried, you just keep going. And the first thing that goes away, as we all know, is our relationship with God. When you're going so much to where you're skipping your quiet time, you're skipping your time with God, you're always complaining. If you're that person that you're sitting in traffic and you're cussing at the people around you because you need to be where you need to be, otherwise you're going to be 10, 15, 20 minutes late, you're hurried. Your pace is too fast. And there's many reasons why we're hurried. There may be some family of origin stuff that we never really worked through. There may be unresolved conflict with our spouse or our loved ones. Or we may just be addicted to the many things that we can be addicted to. Not only chemical substance, but also pornography. We can be addicted to sex. We can be addicted to just status and prestige. So we have to acknowledge, what is our underlying reason that we're hurried? Because Jesus knows you're hurried. He knows that you're crying out, because what I've seen with hurried people, they think that being on the hamster wheel of life means that you're going to have success. Deep inside, what they're really crying out for is, I'm abandoned. I'm alone. Please notice me. Well, I'm here to tell you today that Jesus does notice you, and he loves you, and he wants you to sit at his feet. 1,000 gifts, when you're thankful for 1,000 things, that's basically an invitation to slow your life down enough so that you can figure out you got 1,000 things to be thankful for. Gratitude makes time. What would it look like for all of us to just want more of Jesus? To just sit at his feet, to say, thank you, Jesus. If we can all come together and do that, we would have gratitude overflowing and peace in our life that transcends human understanding. But it starts with a spiritual pit stop. It starts with taking a pause, taking a couple of things off of the calendar. So I encourage you, take a Sabbath. Start with 4 hours, 6 hours. Do something that delights, brings you joy. There's nothing wrong with practical service. God says it's acceptable, but it's about our focus. You see, Mary had the heart of the matter. She wanted to sit at the Master's feet. She wanted to come with open mind and an open heart to hear his words and speak like him and talk like him. Mary was ready to go wherever Jesus went. She went with him to Jerusalem. She went with him to the cross. And as we think about our communion and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, I just want us to think about the blood that was spilt so that we can have the ministry of reconciliation with God, that we have the opportunity to be at peace with God because of the bread that we take and the juice that we drink, which represents the body and blood of Jesus. I pray that gratitude overwhelms your heart. You know, Mary emphasized the one thing that was necessary. She wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus, her teacher. She slowed her life down. She took a spiritual pit stop so that she could learn from her rabbi. I pray that we will follow her example and slow down to sit at the feet of Jesus. Let us go to God in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for teaching us how to say enough. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to be able to understand your scripture enough to know that we have to slow down to spend time with you. Father, I know that I am guilty of running the rat race day in and day out, but I am here to repent. I pray that my other brothers and sisters will join in the heart of repentance so that we can slow this pace down enough just to be with you, to delight in you, to remember and see what you are doing in our lives. Because there is nothing like being grateful. There's nothing like having peace. Father God, I am thankful for Jesus, for his body, for the blood that was spilt for me. I pray that this month of gratitude will be a lifestyle of gratitude. In your holy son's name I pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.